Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio, 103.1 FM, 910, 980 AM, or anywhere on that free Odyssey app. You download it from your app store. Once it's downloaded, you just search for WILK News Radio, hit follow. That's it. That's all you have to do. And like I brought up in the beginning of the show today, towards the end of this year, we're going to be available on Sirius XM Radio. That's right, WILK News Radio. And the Rob O'Donnell Show will be broadcasted on. We're not going anywhere else. We'll still be on the Odyssey app. We're still on AM and FM, but we will also be on available from your Sirius subscribers. So hopefully we pick up some more people there. And if you don't have the Odyssey app, you can listen on Sirius XM. It is 5:10, 76 degrees here on this Tuesday, July 21st, 2026. The storms are, for the most part, out of our area right now. There may be some additional rain after 11 o'clock tonight, but we are keeping them on the line. Let me go to the phone now because we have Linda from Jessup on a VFW party Friday night, and we always love to support our VFWs, our legions, and our veterans. So what do we have, Linda?
Hi, Rob. I'm calling to invite everybody. Do you know that 5 months from Friday is Christmas Eve?
5 months from Friday is Christmas Eve. Come on, I'm still trying to get into summer here, and you're already telling me. I just complained that I saw Halloween decorations in all the stores this weekend, and now you're telling me about Christmas Eve.
Well, we decided we're going to have a Christmas in July party at the VFW in Jessup.
All right. What time? Tell us the details on this.
Okay, Friday night, 7 o'clock, we have a DJ, JR, going to be there. For karaoke and just dancing. There'll be complimentary food, ham, kielbasa, pierogi, all kinds of Christmassy food, and that's all complimentary. It's an open bar, of course, and you don't have to be a member to be there.
Well, it's a pay bar, but the food is complimentary.
Correct.
Yes.
So we want everybody to come out and have a good time. We needed a reason. This works.
There you go. Bring everybody together. Support our VFW. Become a social member if you can. And if you're a veteran and not a member, get in there and become a member. Where is the Jessup VFW for people who want to stop by?
It's on 2nd Avenue in Jessup. I don't know the building number, but it's about a half a block from where the carnival is.
Yeah.
On that end of 2nd Avenue.
All right. And you can't miss it. It's the VFW on 2nd Avenue. There's only one of you, so that should be easy to find. And 7 o'clock, just look for all the people and listen for the music with that DJ going.
That sounds like a plan.
All right. So this Friday, the 24th, starting at 7 p.m., you'll have complimentary food there, and they can have a drink, buy a drink at the bar, and look to see what the VFW has to offer. Listen to some good music.
And we are giving a gift certificate to the best Christmas outfit.
So Christmas outfits now, too. Now it's getting interesting.
Hey, all right. Christmas in July.
It is. I'd be careful what you wish for. Those Christmas outfits in summer could get a little risque. I'm just saying.
Try. Do your best.
All right. Linda, I appreciate you letting us know about it. I'll bring it up again before the end of the week.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Maybe we'll even see you there.
Yeah, maybe I will stop by. Maybe I will. Thank you, Linda. It's 5:13 here. Somebody shows up in a Christmas bikini and boxer shorts on their Santa hats. I'm all ready for that. So, okay, listen, there are great events. I got a couple in my office I'm going to bring in and start telling you about. I love these community events. Listen, our VFW, the Yucca Vets here in Scranton, they all do some great stuff, great events. Become a member if you can. Become a social member if you can. It's a great place to go, a great environment, good people. And it's just a place away from a place to where, you know, little camaraderie, right? That's what it's all about, hanging out with your neighborhood friends and making more. That's what it's all about. So this is going to be interesting. And listen, I really don't care about Joe Biden of today. But this goes back to when Joe Biden was president still. The appeals court rejects Biden's bid to block release of Ghost Rider recordings used in a special counsel probe. And why is it? I'll tell you why this is important in a second. Now, former President Joe Biden lost his bid on Monday to block the release of audio recordings and transcripts of the interviews with his longtime ghostwriter that were used by special counsel Robert Hur's investigation into Biden's unlawfully hoarding classified information. A divided federal appeals court ruled the 46th president's privacy claims did not outweigh the substantial public interest in the material, though it suspended its decision until August 3rd to allow the former chief executive to consider additional action, which he deserves. As a former president, you deserve time to either adhere to or appeal the court's decision. Following his vice presidency, Biden met multiple times with Mark Zwansker, who ghostwrote Biden's 2017 memoir, Promise Me Dad. The audio recordings of those interviews became part of Hur's investigation with the special counsel, noting on his February 2024 report that Biden showed diminished faculties and faulty memory, and described the conversation as painfully slow, with Mr. Biden struggling to remember events. Ultimately, Hur declined to bring charges against Biden, in part because he believed the president would present himself to a jury as a sympathetic, well-meaning, elderly man with poor memory. Here's the thing, though. There were plenty of politicians that were telling us time and time again how sharp and on it Joe Biden was. And this basically destroys that narrative. It basically shows that not only was his diminished capacity evident, but you should have known. And either you misrepresented that or you outright lied to the people. I mean, we have audio recordings right here from our very mayor, Paige Cognetti, who said that her job was easy because Joe Biden was so sharp and on it. She couldn't even keep up with him. She couldn't even keep up with him. But yet we're going to probably hear audio recordings that shows he didn't remember a lot of anything. So how is she gaslighting the public? Then, just months ago, what, 2 years ago? Less than 2 years ago? That he was sharp as a whip and she had trouble keeping up with him. Then her job, her exact quote, my job is easy because of what the president's done. Have trouble keeping up with him. Well, that's going to be relevant now because you're looking people in the eye and you're saying, I'm going to be the change you want in Congress. Will you? I mean, you outright misrepresented exactly what we all saw time and time again during that. So it's going to be interesting. Biden's attorneys has argued the conversations with the ghostwriter were candid and always intended to stay private. The panel rejected the argument, ruling the material became subject to FOIA's disclosure mandate when the special counsel obtained possession of them as part of his investigation. The court also ruled Biden hadn't shown sufficient evidence that he would suffer irreparable harm if the material was released. We conclude that any remaining incursion of personal privacy from disclosure of the now redacted material likely does not outweigh the public interest in disclosure, read the majority opinion in the D.C. Circuit Chief Judge, a Barack Obama appointee. Judge Florence Pan, a long Biden appointee to the panel, dissented, arguing Biden had demonstrated substantial privacy interests in keeping the recording and transcripts under wraps. The conversations at issue took place at Biden's home, and the recordings of them were obtained by the government in the course of a criminal investigation and did not lead to an indictment. Doesn't mean that there wasn't broken laws. Just means they chose not to indict because a jury would have seen him as a well-meaning old man with a poor memory. Is that who was running the presidency? It appears so. The transcripts of Biden's interviews with her were released in March of 2024. showed the then president struggling to remember key events, including which year his son Bo died of brain cancer. What month did Bo die? He asked, as the transcripts show. White House lawyer Rachel Cotton and an unidentified man then reminded Biden his son died in 2015. And he questioned, was that 2015? The release of the transcript contradicted Biden's description of the interview, which he claimed her inappropriately brought up the death of his son. The political fallout raised more questions about Biden's mental capacity for the job, as he was running for a second term at the time. When Biden withdrew from the 2024 race 4 months later, following the disastrous debate against Donald Trump that caused a mutiny in the Democratic ranks, a mutiny that continues today, by the way, with the Democratic Socialists taking them on head on. And it's interesting. You see people like Van Jones coming out and saying, abolish police, abolish prisons. This is not my party. This is crazy. And yet you have some people saying, yeah, that's the route we want to go. Interesting. And again, this is not so much about Joe Biden. It's about the people who lied to us protecting him, protecting the narrative that everything was fine and he was okay and he was the sharpest person they knew and they had trouble keeping up with them. It just goes to show their moral compass, their integrity when it comes to telling you either what you want to hear or what they need to support. It's 521 here at WILK. Let me tell you about our friends. Well, let's do ICEJ in there. Let's do traffic and weather first. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. Listen, I know there's different laws in different states here as far as cannabis goes, but if you're traveling, you need to know the rules and regulations. Before heading overseas, American travelers are warned to double-check their bags for one item that could lead to hefty fines and prison time. U.S. officials are reminding travelers that bringing cannabis products across international borders remains illegal in many countries, following a new customs policy in Thailand that significantly increases penalties for violators. In June of 2026, Thailand introduced tougher penalties for travelers caught bringing cannabis across the borders. This could even be residue in your pens that you use today. Violations can face up to 10 years in prison, a fine of up to $500,000 Thai dollars, which is about $15,000, or both, according to the U.S. Embassy and Consulate in Thailand. Although Thailand decriminalized cannabis possession in 2022, importing or exporting cannabis without proper permission remains illegal, the warning said. So you might do a quick search and say, hey, cannabis is legal in Thailand. I'm going to bring some of my gummies. I'm going to bring my pens, or I'm going to bring my vapes or whatever. And next thing you know, you're spending 10 years in prison. Jeffrey Hoffman, a New York-based cannabis attorney, said travelers should never assume the laws at home apply once they cross international borders, or even if it's legal there, bringing in or bringing it out may be illegal, as in Thailand. While we're seeing cannabis laws relaxed in countries like Canada and various states in the U.S., it's still generally illegal across the overwhelming majority of the planet. He said pointed to a high-profile case of the WNB star Brittany Griner, who was imprisoned in Russia after authorities found cannabis oil in her luggage. As a reminder that some countries strictly enforce the laws. So again, you do a quick search of Thailand and you say, oh, cannabis is legal there. This is not a problem. It's going to be a problem. So you don't want to get caught up in something crazy like that. And again, if it's legal there, you probably could just go there and buy what you want there. Travel expert, former flight attendant based in DC area said many travelers mistakenly assume that if something is legal at home, it's automatically legal everywhere they go. Or just forget it's in your bag. Or forget maybe residues in your bag. That's all it takes in some of these countries. That's what got Brittany Griner. It was residue oil. We all know how that went. So be forewarned. While the agency permits certain medical cannabis products from under limited circumstances, experts emphasize that international travel is a different matter. So even if the TSA recently updated guidance for travelers carrying medical marijuana on domestic flights, if you're going anywhere else or could end up anywhere else, say the plane's diverted to a Caribbean island or something if you headed to Florida, it could be a problem for you. It's 5:30 here at WILK. Time for the news with Paul Michaels.
Yeah, that's a way to end this. Get ease into the ending of a Tuesday, July 21st. I don't think we were too wild today. We could, though, get crazy. Maybe as we get closer to the end of the week. 534, 76 degrees as we crawl into the last half hour of the show today. We are facing our first tropical storm in the U.S. Tropical Storm Bertha is drifting towards land as Hurricane Fusto forms out in the eastern Pacific. Obviously, really won't be a bearing on us, but the tropical storm has been causing some rain bands to hit the west coast of Florida. The Tampa area has been dealing with rain for the past 2 days. But Tropical Storm Bertha strengthened in the Gulf of America, was moving slow towards the Florida Panhandle and Alabama, causing tropical storm warning and storm surge watches in the area. The storm was about 110 miles south of Panama City, Florida, and 170 miles southeast of Mobile, Alabama. It's moving northwest at 5 miles per hour, maximum sustained winds of 50 miles per hour. The wind speed increased by 10 miles since Bertha formed on Monday night, tropical storm warning, meaning the conditions are expected within the warning area within 36 hours. It looks like it's going to creep up towards the panhandle and then curve over towards Texas a little bit. That's the predicted path, but that's just one of many models that are out there. But like I said, the west coast of Florida has been dealing with rain, and the panhandle has been feeling the storm surge as of yet. I did speak to my daughter who lives in the panhandle, and she was aware of it. This would be her first tropical storm after purchasing a house right near the water there. So just making sure, but she is a Marine, and she lives with three other Marines. So I think they can handle any emergencies that come about if the storm causes any. And she's inland. She's not in a flood zone, so I don't think that'll be any of the case there. But it is the first of what's expected to be an average hurricane season. Last year, we didn't, I believe, have a single landfall, right, of a hurricane. But area flash floods are also possible through Friday, along with coast from western Florida to middle Texas. They're adding rainfalls could total 3 to 5 inches along the Louisiana coastline and higher amounts in some scattered areas. There's red flags on the beach at Orange Beach, Alabama, which is right next to Pensacola, Florida. Love that area. Caution swimmers about high surf and currents currently, even though the storm is out there. So, yeah, it's supposed to track right off the coast of Pensacola by 9 o'clock tonight. And then by Thursday at 6 a.m., it'll be off Louisiana. And then by Friday, it's supposed to head into Texas and head west, actually. And this Hurricane Fusto churns in the Pacific, eastern Pacific Ocean. It's churning far from Mexico, Baja, California Peninsula, and posed no threat to land, the Hurricane Center said. It gained hurricane strength Monday night, and it's about 740 miles southwest of the southern tip of Baja, California. To top sustained winds of 80 miles per hour. And again, it's not supposed to have a landfall threat. But again, the National Weather Service is estimating, and that's all it is, an estimate, of an average hurricane season. And this is the first of what I believe it goes all the way to November, hurricane season. We shall see. When I was going to Orange Beach, Alabama, for my anniversary a few years ago, the
townhouse that we were staying in got destroyed by a hurricane, and they had to actually put us in another townhouse in another building because of that damage. And while we were there, there was another hurricane. It was only a Cat 1, and it was basically some wind and heavy rain, but we had to take everything in from the patio on the balcony and all that stuff, but really no issues. We were out there on the beach during the hurricane. Not really much rain, just more of a wind event. So it just goes to show how prevalent they are during that time, and that was in the middle of October when we were there for that. So the end of hurricane season was still a factor. So we'll keep an eye on it. It shouldn't be affecting us. Like I said, this is going west towards Texas and then probably up into the jet stream and hit us later next week with some just rain. It's coming up on 5:40 here, 75 degrees on this Tuesday, July 22nd. Time for 2020 traffic and weather together. 21st it is, not the 22nd. I'm already into tomorrow. I'm already hoping it's Wednesday, hump day on the downslope to the weekend. Here's the AccuWeather forecast. Tonight, humid. May have a heavy thunderstorm earlier, and then maybe a shower after 11 o'clock. Low of 68. Tomorrow, sunshine, some clouds with a scattered thunderstorm in spots. It's not going to be a washout. Humid, a high of 80, a low of 55. Thursday, less humid, plenty of sunshine, a high of 81, a low of 53. Friday and Saturday, those are the days. Friday, mostly sunny, a high of 83, a low of 56. Saturday, mostly sunny, a high of 85, a low of 57. It is currently 75 degrees and cloudy outside. At 5:40, your official weather station, WILK. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. I was looking at a possible story tomorrow where they had there's a description between, there's a new word, taurons. It's a mix between tourist and morons. They call them taurons. Well, these taurons were walking at the geyser in Yellowstone Park on the off-limits zone where you could actually fall through and kill yourself on the acid water. Instead of staying on the boardwalk paths that are there, they were walking where they shouldn't have been walking and could have killed themselves, and they calling them taurons. I like that, morons. 5:44 here, 75 degrees. We start to wind things down for the day. It looks like the Wilkes-Barre Parking Authority officials plan to apply for grants to bring the first electric vehicle charging stations to the Luzerne County seat. Some headlines for tomorrow. And here's just a tragic story of five dead after two sets of parents rush into the Ohio River to rescue a struggling swimmer when all of them drowned. Five people, including two sets of parents, horribly died trying to rescue a struggling swimmer in the Ohio River on Sunday night, leaving multiple young children as orphans. The group of five adults, two children, and another individual was out on the river to enjoy themselves on a summer night when fishing, when tragedy unfolded, said the Delaware County Sheriff at a news conference on Monday. At some point, one adult went into the water to swim and began struggling, prompting two other adults to dive in to try and save them. After the pair also began to struggle, another two adults went to help. None of them made it out of the river alive. Authorities rushed to the scene after a motorist noticed a clearly distraught young child running along the nearby road around 9 p.m. and called 911. The terrified child said that the family was in the river. The two women were then pulled from the river and taken to nearby hospitals where they were pronounced dead. The bodies of the three men were recovered later on Monday from the river in Powell, north of Columbus, according to a spokesperson for the Delaware County Sheriff. Two sets of parents were among the five killed in the chaos. Two young children under the age of 10 who were with the group have since been placed in family services until other family members could get there. Authorities have not yet publicly identified the five people who drowned. Exact circumstances around the death remain unclear. The river was running high and fast following a rate of 350 cubic feet per second on Sunday, according to data The number is more than double the average rate. The sheriff urged people to ensure they have proper safety devices and are confident in their swimming abilities before going in the water. Unless you're, listen, it's in our nature. As parents, it's in our nature. As Good Samaritans, it's in our nature as humans to try and help someone who's struggling. If you're not a strong swimmer and you're not trained in water rescues, it could be more dangerous to you than you think. Somebody's panicking. Somebody is fighting for their life. They're not thinking clearly at those times, which is often why lifeguards are taught to subdue the people they're rescuing in order to rescue them properly. It's why you grab them from behind and put your arm around them and drag them backwards. One of the techniques that are taught. And just tragic for both parents. Two sets of parents to be lost during this. There was I had a neighbor where I grew up in Astoria, Queens, and the father and brother died, and I knew the mother well, and I knew the younger brother that I grew up with, and I was a young child and really didn't know the whole circumstance till older, later in life. That the child, the older brother, fell in a small pond. It was like a real small retention pond type thing. And the father dove in to save his son. Didn't realize how shallow it was. And when he dove in, struck his head and became unconscious. They both drowned. And when they were brought out, they were both found embracing one another when they were recovered. So even unconscious or even before he lost consciousness, was able to find his son and grab a hold of him, and that's how they were found. But just to show how tragic, if he would have walked in, it probably would have been a much easier rescue and pulled him out in time. But because he thought the water was deeper and dove in, no fault of his own, didn't realize how shallow and rocky it was and ended up striking his head and became unconscious and drowned himself. And it's as simple as that. And is a great mom and younger brother and friend that I had growing up. And when I realized when I became a teenager and was told the story, how tragic it was. It's something that sticks with you. Something that sticks with you, but just great people and an unfortunate tragedy that bestowed on their family. Follow up on a story that I had late last week. Those abandoned beluga whales in the Canadian Marine Park that have been abandoned for years and left there. They were lifted out of the defunct theme park, and they're beginning their journey to new homes in the U.S. They're calling it a job well done. Animal rescuers on Monday kicked off the monumental mission to transfer nearly three dozen belugas stuck inside a shuttered Canadian theme park to new homes in the U.S. Pictures from the Marineland in Niagara Falls, Ontario, on Monday show the long-awaited rescue efforts appearing to go perfect. Some of the majestic sea canaries, which can reach the weights of up to 3,500 pounds, were seen being hoisted out from their habitat in a massive sling attached to a heavy-duty crane. One beluga whale, Sierra, looked nonplussed about the whole affair as she was hauled away into a truck. Sierra is expected to be joined by Acadia, Osiris, Leoette at the Shedd Aquarium in Chicago, it was reported, while belugas Birdie Botts and Frankie are on destination to be flown out to SeaWorld in San Antonio, Texas. Canadian officials confirmed on Monday was the beginning of relocation efforts for all 30 of the whales. The first wave of rescue mission at Marineland is underway. Canadian Fisheries Minister, stated the whale's home at Marineland had shuttered after the death of the zoo's owner in 2024, according to the Canadian Broadcast Network. Though staff continued to care for the sea creatures, the outlet reported that the whale's fate was in the balance for some time, with the belugas living under the threat of euthanasia if a suitable home wasn't found. But authorities in Canada came to agreements with the U.S. and Spain over moving the whales earlier last month, saving the creatures' lives and giving them new home. It's good to see this happening. Hopefully, I mean, that's a monumental 3,500-pound whale, beluga whale, and transporting them across the country and across the world is something else. Now, Chicago's not too bad of a distance, but it's a good success story, a good feel-good story. The fact that they were there and couldn't find anything, they were going to execute these whales. I mean, obviously, you can't release them into the wild again. They have been domesticated, living together in this marine park or large fish tank for the most part. And now they're on their way to where they're going to hopefully live a better life. Still in captivity, but a better life. So that's some information as a follow-up there. I got a text message. Text messages is I don't know if they're just telling me the truth or trying to be funny, but when we were talking about the Jessup VFW and their Friday event that's taking place at 7 p.m. with a DJ, free food, a bar, cash bar, and good times and camaraderie. It's on 2nd Avenue in Jessup, and they said 2nd Avenue is between 1st and 3rd Avenue. Well, thank you for that common sense approach. I appreciate the information. That being said, looking to see if I have anything else breaking for today. There are a bunch of stories for tomorrow. We did get a FBI captured a fugitive on the most wanted fraudster list who allegedly stole $547 million in Medicare fraud scheme. Khalid Santari, 54, was cuffed in the Middle East on Monday after more than 3 years on the lam for allegedly orchestrating a scheme to defraud Medicare of over $547 million, the U.S. Department of Justice announced today. So after 3 years on the lam, stealing $547 million, he's back in custody. That's good. The crazed individual who set the firebomb and incendiary devices off in front of the federal building had a list of other New York targets, as per that investigation. So that's something we'll also follow up on. And Jake, you got your ears on in there. We got about a minute left. What's the story with all these sportscasters getting fired lately? ESPN, all these layoffs and.
Yeah, Rob, I think everyone sort of saw this coming with ESPN specifically. And there's three in particular: Ryan Clark, Cam Newton, and Bart Scott. And I mean, really all I could say, I mean, you never really, you hate to see anyone lose their job, but those three, especially with some of the takes that they had on there specifically, were clowns.
Newton went on an R-rated rant on his social media,
yeah.
I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Brian Clark has surprisingly been handling it better than I expected it to, especially since it was right in the middle of the show when they informed him that he was being let go. And I mean, he's just had some really, really weird takes over the past few years, especially with reasons why he felt Lamar Jackson should have been MVP instead of Josh Allen. Then, of course, we can't forget, I mean, Ryan Clark, once again, another president of the Mike Tomlin cult, I guess you could say. Cam Newton, the whatever beef that he had with Drake May, who took New England to the Super Bowl last year, did not care for him. And then when I think of Bart Scott was almost sort of like celebrating a couple of years ago on ESPN when Trayvon Diggs, when he was with the Dallas Cowboys and tore his ACL. So, I mean, I know that they're going through a bunch of layoffs right now. There's some other key ones. Tom Pelissero, he was a huge part of NFL Network the past couple of years. Sad to see that. Tom, one of the better reporters that there are in the NFL. And then Charles Davis. Charles Davis, I felt like, was one of the more underrated guys in the NFL the past couple of years. So there are some of them I don't agree with, but yeah, Ryan Clark, Cam Newton, and Bart Scott, good riddance to them.
All right. What do you think about us being on Sirius XM Radio?
That's pretty awesome. Big time, huh?
Right?
Yeah.
Look at us.
I know.
We're not going anywhere else. We're still going to be AM, FM, and on the Odyssey app, but we're also going to be, and we're on iHeart platforms as well. So we're just expanding to Sirius as well. See, they had to replace Howard Stern with somebody. So here I am. It's 5:58 here at WILK. We'll be back. Well, that's it for us today. God bless. Be safe. We'll see you tomorrow.